You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We have an interview now. We're here with Maeve O'Connell, Wellington-based artist, to talk about her fringe show, Twilight. Hi, Maeve.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
I'm super, super well.
Very good. Explain the title to people, just so that, because I can't, it's hard to say.
Oh, no, it truly is. It reflects the show in the chaotic sense. So it's Twilight, the Loca edition, but it dawned on me that copyright exists,
sure.
And I got a little bit nervous when I first did it, and I thought I was a mastermind, and within the word Twilight, I added lie,
the word
L-I-E.
Yep.
However, I can't express. It's either the best marketing tactic or the worst, because it has not landed. But I'm really stuck on it, and I'm trying to make it a thing.
Sure.
But yeah, it's Twilight with an extra E in there to avoid copyright, because that's totally how it works, right?
I believe so. If you believe it to be so, then it's true.
I feel like they would understand.
Yeah, surely.
If we get there, surely.
So what is the concept like? What is the sort of structure and concept?
What
of
is
the
this?
Show? Yeah, what is this?
What is this? Heavily light structure. So I basically am seated the whole show. So this is not in the category of dance, circus, movement. It's stand up, but sitting down.
Sure.
And it's just little me. And it's very PowerPoint heavy. It's kind of my internal monologue visually. It is not that deep. I wouldn't come expecting a narrative,
sure,
or a thread. If you hate it, an aspect of the show, it's totally fine, because we'll never come back to it. I would describe this as almost like ADHD, comedy, pop culture. It is about Twilight, but there's somehow heavy amounts that aren't about Twilight,
sure,
should you have not seen it.
Where did it come from? What was sort of the jumping off point for doing it as a performance piece?
I was working at Bats Theatre as their marketing manager, and being so lucky to see many a theatre show, many comedy in the audience seating block, and I had this itch. I was like, I could do it. I want to do it.
Sure.
And I wanted to do a solo, because I like to think I'm a team player, but I think in this instant I wanted to do my own thing, because it was so vague. I was like, I can't bring others into this.
I can't explain this to other
and
people.
Then, yeah, exactly. And I don't know, how would I find a creative team to give their time for this?
Sure.
And I thought I ought to have like a strong text to pull from. And it was like a passing comment. The Loca edition, the tagline, is this little niche line that Jacob, the wolf man, says. And it just really tickled me. He goes, Bella, how you doing, Loca? Which is the
yeah,
most...
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, but absolutely bizarre. And I feel like even though it's one throwaway line, a lot of people have remembered it. And so I just rolled with it and built the show up from there. And apologies. You know, 50 minutes is a long time to fill.
Sure.
As I've learned. But yeah. That's kind of how it came to be, in the most chaotic way.
Nice. It does seem, like you said, ADHD, a little bit scatterbrained in the best way, which I think goes over really well on stage, if the person doing it can sort of, you know.
Can hold that. Agreed.
Yeah, get a hold of the reins. And
You can see when the audience has fallen off, which hopefully won't happen in Dunedin.
No.
That's the best part about having a non-scripted show.
Audience.
You can be like, let me turn. Yeah, I'm so grateful. Everyone in Dunedin seems super cool. And although I'm Wellington-based, I grew up in Invercargill.
Cool.
And I feel like I need to mention that. I'm an ally
to the
South Islands.
Twilight. Let's talk about Twilight.
Please. I would love nothing more.
First off, did you read the books first or movie first?
That's a really good question. I think I was high... on the first book, and then I jumped into movie land, and then I did a retrospect on the book.
Sure.
And I can't believe the text somehow is still going, like in terms of pop culture. I saw Taylor Lautner was doing a little something recently, and I'm like, you are writing the show for me.
Yep. Did you like it? Was there a point was there a point in your life where you were seriously into it? You know what I mean?
Like deep in it.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I think I probably am on the cusp.
Sure.
I did want to choose a text that wasn't so close to my heart, like Glee or Pretty Little Liars.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I would get defensive on that. But I think Twilight just really interested me, and also the discourse about, I mean, a lot of young, in particular, women really enjoy it. And that was kind of funny in society. Like, everyone was like, haha, Twilight.
Yep.
But I was like, wait, why? Like, why can't young women enjoy things?
Yeah, why can't young they have people... something pulpy?
Yeah, why can't we like it? Yeah. So I just wanted to also inquire about that. And even though it is silly, especially with an adult lens watching it, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
But it's interesting that it's such a joke, and I kind of wanted to look into that as to why.
Sure. Yeah. Do you... The picture that the Fringe have got, the promo picture, is it's got a tier list on it that I believe is a character tier list. Not to spoil the show, but are there hot takes in it? Are there anything that you would believe to be a hot take?
I think there's some real strong feelings about Jasper, which I need to educate myself furthermore on. But I think he has had a dark past, and I was like, look, I'm not trying to go against the grain here. I'll put him, on the lower tier of the list. But it's interesting. Alice seems to have affected a lot of people, especially in terms of maybe their sexuality, which is
just
super interesting to be a universal thing. And I think the one thing that stands out is that Charlie Swan was a great dad, and he was really hard done by.
Absolutely.
Have you seen Twilight, Jack?
I've seen the original Twilight a ton of times, and I've seen the sequels... I've seen New Moon a couple of times, and then I think I've only seen the last three once each.
Well, that's a great segue, because when I set out to the show, I thought I was going to change the world. However, I realized there's so many films, and it equates to 10 hours. How on earth would I funnel that into a 50-minute show?
Sure, sure.
It's heavily the first movie, and then a fifth of New Moon.
Okay. Is there a potential for sequels to the show?
I've really so much... uncovered, especially the Renesmee, the child, it just goes a little bit. It's super interesting. The first Twilight, I'm so naughty, I feel like I should really know my source material, but I believe the first one is filmed by, directed by a woman, and then the rest aren't, and I feel like that kind of shows. I think I've picked myself, you might catch me in 2047, still trying to push this show, and I feel like I wouldn't have got into the
covered
end
everything.
Of the forum content. Yeah.
Speaking about the gender politics of Twilight, because I'm 29, so when I was sort of in high school, I think the first one came out, and at the time, dudes around were very, gross, girl media, and the older I get, I have some very serious film bro friends who all kind of love Twilight.
This could be a crazy take, but I feel like Mulholland Drive, David Lynch, ex-Twilight fans aren't that far apart.
No, I agree. That's sort of where I was getting to. Yeah, I was like, do you think that there is a serious cultural reappropriation to be had of Twilight?
The uproar. And I wonder if it's because the people of the film world have already come off a little bit of Harry Potter. We won't go into why. And they've merged into Twilight. On my algorithm, maybe it's just because I'm doing a whole show about Twilight, I'm still getting pushed into Twilight content and humor. And I feel like I can't be the singular demographic. It feels really wide-reaching. And so I'm curious to understand what's happening there. It stands the test of time in the worst way as a cult classic, universal text. I'm really interested when people come to my show who I don't know, different age group, different type of human, and I won't audience interact and make everyone frightened, but at the beginning of the show I love to talk to people and be like, why'd you come? And I'm so interested to find the answers, especially from people that don't look like me, aren't a 25-year-old white woman. And I'm like, what impacted you to be here? And it's interesting hearing the answers, but all the threads and all the answers is they just love Twilight. So I'm still digging for the why.
And there's something to be said for a lot of movies, I guess, where if you weren't there on the release and you came to it later, you often come with less prejudice or less judgment of the text.
That is such a good point. And there's a little bit where Stephanie Meyer, the creator, makes a cameo in the movie. And this is a teaser. I asked the crowd, is it cringe that she's in the movie? And the first time everyone was like, yeah. And then... ruining my own joke, I cut to a slide of Stan Lee, and I'm like, make it make sense. And then the whole it's a little bit of like a ooh moment. It's just so
what's
interesting.
What's the double standard there?
Yeah. And I'm like, not trying to kill the vibe. I bring it back up. And I think I thought the same. Like my cringe and twilight is quite married. And then there's a Venn diagram of this is the best thing ever in the middle.
Yep.
So I don't know how it works. It's like the best and the worst thing. And I think that Robert Pattinson, the fact that he is like repulsed at the thought of it, really adds a layer.
It does. And the line about the one where he's talking about the wire that they put in his collar, and he was saying it's like a level of pretentious dishevelment that he'd never seen before. Fantastic. And I was going to point out the actors is an interesting thing about Twilight, right? Because at least of the leads, they're all fantastic actors.
I saw like proper notable, and another wild card that I kind of erased from my history was Anna Kendrick is in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing like such a mean, jealous girl.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I so agree. Fun fact, Taylor Lautner married someone else called Taylor.
I know, like, and so she's Taylor Lautner.
And they've got a podcast together. Like, not that we need more podcasts, but there's space in my heart for that one.
Sure.
You're totally right. And the fact that it goes on and on just to get more star-studded cast.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
And I guess you brought it up before, but the comparisons to Harry Potter are inevitable.
Yes.
I think it's better writing than Harry Potter. I don't know if I like the movies more, because there's some part, you know, there's some really good direction in some of the Harry Potter movies.
Yes, I think I like the world and the world building Harry Potter more. But in terms of maybe like being able to watch it on repeat or a bit more light, like if you watch Harry Potter, it's kind of like, I'm a big fan, disclaimer, like no Harry Potter hate here. But, you know, you kind of like need to settle in and commit, and you're like, what one should we watch? But I feel like with Twilight, you can kind of pop on any of them. And it's super ridiculous. I think from the minute you get to the scene when Edward walks in and he thinks Bella smells.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, wait, is this comedy?
Like what's
going on there? Yeah. I need to be in the writer's room. I would have loved to understand
absolutely
the why behind so many choices.
And I'd love to see, especially like Robert Pattinson's reaction being told that he has to do certain things.
Oh my
things.
God, that cold read. Yeah. And like the glittering, it's just, I think it is
the
a heavy layer of queer coded as well.
For sure.
Which I didn't realize at the time. And like maybe it was, I don't know. I would love to teleport back as well to my first watch ever. And a lot of people come to the show that have never seen Twilight. And afterwards, they get heaps of messages from all of my fans
saying
they went and watched the Twilight the next day, or with you on that weekend they went and revisited it. So great to hear.
Good things to say after they, or like,
I think they were just like, wait, what?
Like that, that's what it is?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because that was my reaction too. I watched it a little bit, you know, after a few years break, and I was like, wait, what? I'm so confused. I kind of thought it was a bit more serious tone, a bit more profound. And maybe it is in some ways, but at surface level, it's like quite silly.
Yeah. It's certainly, like, I guess vampires haven't been allowed to be super serious for years.
That's a really, really good point. Yeah, we've got some New Zealand link to vampire-ness as well.
Do we?
I don't know where the intersection with what we do in the shadows.
Oh, of course. True.
Yeah. I'm trying to unpack it here with you right now. The wolf thing gags me. I saw this massive dog the other day, like a not real dog. And that's the only time I've been like, wait, that looks like a werewolf, Jacob dog.
Yeah.
But werewolves, maybe I'm not tapped into the werewolf genre, but I don't know, there's that as well. But like pairing werewolves and vampires, and also it's history. There is like actual lore. I've gone oddly deep into like subreddits. And there's like really, there's some real controversial opinions on the retelling of what is told and, you know, historically accurate, which I try to stay out of as not my thing to touch on. But interesting to see the discourse.
Well, and it's interesting that like you'd think something for the age group that it's aimed at, and werewolves versus vampires, would have one being bad and one being good.
Yes.
But they do a very good job of being like, there's good and bad on both sides of this conflict.
That's a really good question. And there's the Team Edward, Team Jacob. It's what I've observed is it leans towards Edward, but there's not really a strong why behind that. But it's very mixed heavily mixed on the.
I think that happened later. I think, from what I remember in high school, it was more Team Jacob, and I think it was because Taylor Lautner was more what people thought was hot in high school, potentially.
You took the words out of my mouth, and I wonder, you're right, I would love to see, I need to like pin this on a graph or get like a data analyst, but there's totally been a spike where people have become Team Edward, because Jacob was officially post the long haircut.
Yeah.
He was that, bad boy / nice guy. Oh, I take that back. He wasn't the bad boy. But see, I could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
The writing. I'm like, it's so complex.
And he flip-flops back and forth. Like, it is funny that you say bad boy, no, nice guy. Because Stephanie Meyer, bless her heart, was not the most consistent with the character tones.
McQueen, trying to, like, map the show out. When I was beginning, I was like, okay, I'll do it beat by beat. And that's why it ended up being, like, all over the place. Because I was like,
you're like,
my
source
material is never going to go beat by beat.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to put some airtime on my girl, Bella, my queen, Bella.
Sure, sure.
It's the show also has a massive theme of what is a healthy relationship, and this isn't it.
Yep.
Not blaming Bella, but just identifying. I can't believe when I was like year 10, free doing NCEA, I was like, like goals. Like, wish
that
was me.
Yeah. I wish I had two psychopaths fighting over me.
Turning up to my room, I'm like, this is when you need to walk away and block.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose we're a radio station, so we should, and this is something that gets mentioned about Twilight a lot, but we should mention it. The soundtrack is fire. It's pure fire.
It truly is. The pre-show and post-show music you can expect to hear, it's
nice.
Scattered throughout.
Nice.
I think my music tastes stay within that genre. There's something for everyone, like the scene where she's staring out the window, that banger, Meet Me on the Equinox, supermassive black hole.
Yep.
I didn't think I clicked into the time until later on. I'm happy you mentioned it. It's just so great. Full Moon by the Black Ghost.
Absolutely.
Paramore.
The Decode is a thrilling song.
I need to play it right now. Rosin by Bon Iver.
Yeah,
I fear I pronounced that wrong.
Yeah, but Bon Iver.
Bon Iver. Yeah. I oddly, somehow Hearing Damage by Tom York comes up in my Spotify rap every year, I stand on.
And that's a crazy pull for the soundtrack. Tom.
No, right?
Tom York.
I need to know what they're saying. And I got deeper and deeper, and there's like CeeLo Green features.
Yeah, yeah.
Angus and Julia Stone, Bruno Mars.
It's a real time capsule.
It truly is. It goes so hard if you ever get stuck on, the car drive music or playlist for a party. If you're stuck, Twilight songs.
Twilight. And most people know. At least, a good chunk of
it. And I won't do it because I don't have a voice of an angel, but, the whoa, okay, that's a really bad way to articulate it. But that kind of riff where it's just saying whoa over again. So dramatic. And everyone knows it. Everyone knows it.
And even if they haven't seen Twilight, they know it. And they don't know where they know it from.
That's a really good point, actually, which is, I think the next show is analysing their, marketing timeline and distribution plan.
Yeah,
whether
it
was, completely accidental, but
well, I think there is like a. It never felt like there was an inevitability to it being as culturally significant as it was. Like there was with Harry Potter, where the books had already, blown up to the level they had.
Set that off. You're so right, and I just wonder what will we remember this text in 60 years' time?
Yeah, exactly.
I fear that we might. I could be really biased.
Look, we remember. But the funny thing is, we remember, Nosferatu, the original Nosferatu, things like that,
yes.
as, these very serious, studied,
Yeah, media studied.
But they were pulpy, they were for everyone.
That's a really good point.
So maybe we will take it very seriously in 60 years.
Yeah, big time. But we have media studies, NCAA essays,
exactly.
Writing, pulling things from. And every time I go into a JJ's or a Cotton On or oddly, don't know why I'm in there. There's a t-shirt with a Twilight paraphernalia on.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're like, sure.
And like you say, Stephanie Meyer, she might not be the best writer in the world, but she's not a horrible person. From what I know, I'd like to keep it that way, actually. Maybe she is.
Same here. Yeah, exactly. I'm open for interpretation, but support women's rights and wrongs, unless they're really, really wrong and against certain communities.
Yep.
But so far, so good. And Robert Pattinson still being like inflamed every time the movie comes up. Well, I think if I could talk to him, if he was on the phone right now, I'd be like, you need to turn the attitude around and people will focus on it less.
Well, you'd think he would have by now. Like, you'd think he'd have seen the culture shift and been like, no, it was all right. But
yeah, I stand by it.
But I kind of respect him for being like, I don't like it.
Yeah, like, that was not me. I regret all
of
that.
Exactly.
And I guess I think I forget super hard as well to starting in the show if I focus on the characters or the actors, and I forget that acting-wise, that time in his life probably was pretty mid.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of suspend my belief to the romantic dynamics on set, or off set, should I say.
Yeah.
If you know about that.
No, yeah, I've only through, like, people commenting on his interview clips about it, usually, but yeah.
Yep. But hey, what I see on screen is a fantastic movie that I find it so easy to talk about for 50 minutes. And it's kind of, the show's interactive until it's not. You can sit there in the back. It's really loose, so like, you can go on your phone.
Sure.
I'm not going to call you out.
Yeah.
But if something evokes in you, which often it does, it's a yell out, it's interactive, it's like a podcast.
Like a fun uni lecture. Kind of
that. I think I'm in my lecture fantasy, being the fun lecturer.
Sure, but I mean, I enjoyed the, like, I don't know if I'm a nerd or whatever, but I enjoyed lectures where the lecturer cared about the content, you know, deeply.
Yes, like passionately. Yeah, which I think when I retire this show, I probably need to, because I fear I'm becoming like the Twilight girl.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy Twilight, but when I'm, like, boxed in, I'm like, ooh, okay. I need to diversify my content, I think.
Yep.
But for now, I'm so happy to talk about Twilight. And it's people have brought Twilight dolls, they've dressed up.
Yeah,
heartwarming.
Cool.
It's the most, like, wholesome thing ever.
Is there another, I don't want to say property, because that makes it sound gross and commercial, but is there another passion that you can see you doing another one of these for?
If I were to do it, it has to be the show that has my whole heart, changed my life, and that is Glee.
Sure.
And maybe it's reframing Glee, because I think I played down my whole life. But again, speaking of Spotify rap, it's there every single year, and I swear I don't even listen that much.
It's another, you're right in the sense that it's another perfect candidate. In terms of, like, deep cultural impact, you know.
Big time.
Maligned and loved. Same sort of token, yeah, absolutely.
That's a really good point, yeah. Very anti or pro, and just the characters, the story, and in, like, quite a sincere way, why has it, like, constantly impacted my life?
Yep. And controversies behind the scenes. Ooh, for days.
Yeah, that's totally right. What would you do, Jack, if you had to?
None of the ones I like have the cultural impact, the lastingness. Like, Percy Jackson would be one of my big ones for that kind of
thing. Oh, that'd be
cool. That kind
I'd
of thing.
I'd come to that. I'd come to that.
Probably, like, I think you could do a good one on anime, actually. Like, in the sense that, like, a lot of people my age grew up watching Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pokemon, you know, like, stuff that got transferred to the West, to us, cartoon breakfast shows. Versus, like, you know, stuff that is inherently Japanese and didn't really make the jump over. I think you could do a pretty good, similar kind of presentation.
You're totally right. And it'd be so interesting if you haven't engaged in anime. You would learn
exactly,
so much if you were a deep cut fan.
You could try
so
and,
in it.
You know, get some appreciation. Because it's a thing that is wide-ranging, and there are things in it that people could enjoy if they didn't think they did. Same thing with Twilight.
You're totally right, and I think why I felt confident to actually do it. I was like, there's a podcast for everything. Like, most people's podcasts they listen to are so niche, and I picked a less niche topic, but I'm like, surely there are people out there who will come on Friday the 21st at 8 p.m. $15
At the Friday on Princess Street.
Yep, 20 Princess Street,
and it's all ages, and it's $10 to $14.
Yeah, all ages. One night only is probably an important thing to mention.
Sure.
And I've kept the ticket prices hopefully accessible because I just love to have people there.
Oh, that's a great price, and Fringe have been amazing about letting people price the shows really well.
I couldn't believe it.
It's really good.
Also, shout out Dunedin Fringe, the whole team, the organization.
Absolutely.
Just have been such a joy. And the people of Dunedin, so grateful. Those who have bought tickets, it's so awesome to see. I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, thank you for talking to me. It's been lovely to chat. And I will hopefully, I'm trying to get to as many as I can. I don't know if some of them are on the same night. But
that is the 8 p.m. curse. Like the,
yeah, exactly.
It's a great time to have a show, but it rules out all the other ones.
Yeah, and Friday
and Jack,
as well.
I understand. I'd appreciate to see you there and any of your listeners. And if not, that's totally fine.
No, I mean, I'll try to get along. But if anyone is listening and is if the even vaguest passing interest in Twilight, you should absolutely get along. I'm sure that'll be a ton of fun. Thank you, Maeve.
Thank you, Jack. Have a great rest of your day.
See you later. You too.
Bye.
That was Maeve O'Connell. The show is Twilight, by the way, if you missed the start of the interview, the Twilight, with a lie in the middle, to avoid copyright, apparently. Lovely to talk to her.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.